Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, Father, we lift your name on high. For you are the high God. And Father, where you are the high God, because we are in Christ, we are seated in that high place as well. Hallelujah. We take our place in Christ from that place. And we speak and we declare from that place on high in Christ. That we're able to see what you see. Not only in the natural, but Father, for our future as well. For we're able to see in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit allows us to see and reveal through your word. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that is here with us tonight. And we bless you tonight. We glorify tonight. We release faith tonight. We release faith tonight by giving you praise. Despite of what we've heard, despite of what we feel, we release faith because of where we're seated, because of where we're seated. In Christ. And we call those things which be not as though they were, because of where we're seated in Christ. Because we see as you see, and therefore we speak as you speak, according to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, boy, sounds like I'm in an auditorium, James. But anyway, you know, we know what's going on in our island. We know some of our families have been affected by it. Not only our families, but a whole community has felt it. And, you know, I love what Brother Higgins said. And I wrote it down many, many years. He says that he was referring to speaking in tongues. And he said that a lot of times that oftentimes believers get so focused on the spectacular that they miss the supernatural. And sometimes we don't realize that we are not normal people. We are supernatural people because we live by the Spirit. So therefore, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's a supernatural thing that we're doing. Right? Because sometimes we look for the spectacular, not realizing praying in the Holy Ghost is a supernatural thing. Because it connects us to the mind of God. It connects us to the will of God. What is in the will of God? What is in his mind by the Holy Ghost? And when we pray in the Holy Ghost supernaturally, the Holy Ghost connects us to the mind of God. And when you are faced with a situation like this, there's so much myriad of things that are going on. It's like, Lord, what do I pray for specifically? Because there's so much that is happening. There's family members. There's this going on. Everything's going on. We have a supernatural ability. And that supernatural ability connects us to the mind of God, to where we pray out his perfect will. That's what happens. And, you know, I was listening to Pastor Nancy a couple weeks ago. She said, when we pray in tongues, a lot of times we pray in tongues, yet our minds are still running with thoughts. We have to quiet our mind in order to gain the full benefit of what we're doing. We have to quiet our minds and focus on our spirit so that we are able to benefit of really hearing the voice of God and hearing his word, that one word we need. And we can eliminate all our confessions, in a sense, when we receive one word by the Holy Ghost. And that's the word we need. Yeah. And that's the word we pray out, because it came from him. Yeah. Not to say we don't stop doing our confessions, because confession equals possession. But what I'm saying is when Holy Spirit is trying to teach us to become more skillful, that all we need is one word from him, a revelation. And that's the word we use. It'll make a difference. Amen? So, in saying that, you know, let's be mindful that, I know some of you are because you are the core, let us obtain the fullness of that benefit that we have supernaturally. Because there's things that we need to pray out as a church. You know, we've already occupied our space in the Spirit. Now, although this church is a building, a physical building that is taking up space here, you know, if you look at every building on this island, they all have a purpose there. You have Jack in the Box down here. Their purpose is to serve food and provide food for the community. You know, you have different buildings. They have a specific purpose. And they're doing that. And we as a church, our building is here physically, but we have already taken position and occupied our space already in the Spirit. And now we do what we do. And by praying in the Holy Ghost and releasing faith and releasing the will of God as a church that has occupied its space, we do that as the Holy Spirit leads us. And we begin to release God's will in the atmosphere as the Holy Ghost leads us. Amen? And from that place, this place, we speak. We release faith. We release restoration. In fact, Isaiah, I'm going to share just a little bit, and Pastor Carol has some stuff she wants to share. In Isaiah, you can just listen, 61 verse 4. And they shall build up the ancient ruins, and they shall raise up former devastations. And they shall repair the ruined cities and the devastation of many generations. And your ancient cities shall be rebuilt. Yeah. And you know, Greg and different one of us, you know, Lahaina was pretty much our stomping grounds. And there's a lot of history there. Yeah. And I was asking Lambert, I'm not sure if Lahaina Luna got burned down. I pray not. But God promises that he would rebuild and restore. Amen. But more importantly, he wants to rebuild, and he wants to rebuild people's lives. Yeah. Because, you know, when God rebuilds and restores, he wants to rebuild and restore the complete whole of the man. Not only what he has, but his life. You know? And that's what we want to speak towards. People's lives. Because there's a lot of people's lives. They're experiencing hopelessness and despair. Because they've put their hope in things. And it's not wrong to have things. But that's what they've put their hope in. If you know what I mean, right? And when we put our hope in these things, then we become hopelessness. We become lost because we've put our hope in things. And our prayer was that no life would be lost because, you know, you can rebuild things, right? But you can bring, well, our God can do anything. But you know what I mean. You know, you can't, you know, bring back somebody who's dead. So, you wanted to share what the Lord put in your heart before I jump into, come on. Let the people know that you know, our faith family, our Fresh Oil Fellowship, the people that we all associate with, Pastor Craig and all the Pastor Nancy, all them. Yeah. What's your mic? Oh, right here. I got him. You can come to me.
The Ramoses, Dee Chernicki, on and on. All these precious ministers of FOF all were calling us, texting us, and Pastor Morgan text and just says, we're praying for you, for your island. We're praying for your church and for the people. And it just, there's just, you know, and I says, if anything, be in agreement with us, pray for rain. Pray for rain. And we need rain. We need rain, not just in Lahaina, but just to douch, you know, pour out over these islands. And, you know, the news media, we know this even during COVID and stuff. It's so negative. They're just going to tell the facts, and they kind of amplify, really amplify the negative. And that's what they do. They're news reporters, and they report the bad, the negative, and make it even sound more worse than what it really is. But you know what? Two scriptures. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 46:1-2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present and well-proven help in time of our trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth should change. And though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hallelujah. And you know, we've seen all these fires and all this destruction, and we have all of these images from the news and from these TV reporters. But you know what? You know what I'm waiting to hear? I'm waiting to hear reports and testimonies that you won't hear through CNN. You're not going to hear through the mainstream media. I'm waiting to hear about reports and supernatural things that have happened throughout the islands, especially in Lahaina, how God intervened, how he saved. Okay, there are some 200 homes that were lost. It could have been 600. It could have been 400. We don't know about the people, the believers who were applying the blood, applying that crimson line around their home. And when the fire seen the blood, they went, they just went around the home. We don't know about all those lives that were rescued and saved and spared. Because if I know anything about my God, if I know anything about him, he doesn't sit in heaven and look at destruction. He doesn't sit above and just look at his people. And especially when they're crying out to him and praying and quoting Psalm 91, no evil shall come near our dwelling places. If I know my God, he is at work and he has dispatched angels. So we haven't even heard the beginning of testimonies of how people, because you're not going to hear it on the news. You're not going to hear it, but we know as believers, God is working, and he'll bring good through all of this. How can he bring good, you may ask, you know? How can he? Through these natural fires, I'm believing God's going to bring revival fires that are going to spread through these islands, that are going to quicken people's hearts, and that they're going to just call out. They're going to call upon God and fill the churches and pray and seek him. This can happen. God can use this situation to cause that to happen throughout the islands, throughout here. So we haven't even touched and heard these things which God has done. I believe there were mighty rescues. There were mighty things where people were just going to begin to say, let me tell you what happened. Now, not all people were calling out to God, but I know a lot of people were. There's a lot of Christians and believers there. And a lot of rescue supernaturally. And we know God is working in the midst. in the midst of these situations, in the midst of these fires, supernaturally strengthening the people, the first responders, those on the front line. So we don't look at the negative. Yes, we look at the news and we, you know, it just pricks your heart. And I've cried all day, but I just said, my God's working. He's doing supernatural things behind the scenes that man doesn't even know anything about. And he'll restore, and yes, he'll rebuild. But if we know anything about our God, he has the last say-so. And he will turn this thing around. And he'll get the glory for it in Jesus' name. You watch and hear. We're going to have testimonies and influxes of reports pouring in from the people on the west side. I believe that with all my heart. Do you? Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Oh, you have Greg's two brothers and Lambert's uncles. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But the Bible says that they that know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, we know our God. And we know what tithing is to us, right? Tithing keeps us connected to our covenant, right? It provides protection to us. Amen. And we believe that some of our brothers and sisters were tithers, and the benefits of the blessing was over their lives. Just like Pastor Carol said, we're gonna hear a lot of testimonies. Yeah. And you know what? It's time that the churches. It's time for the churches to shine.
Yes.
Yeah. And we will rise and we will shine.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. But you know, this morning, you know, hearing what went on, I had a word, but the Lord changed it. And what I want to talk to you about briefly tonight is helpless but not hopeless. You know, when I saw the things that was happening, you know, I didn't know the extent to what had occurred. And and then there was a helicopter video that was flying, and it was showing the whole Lahaina town. And I thought in my mind it was just the front street Lahaina town. But it went all the way down to Honokawai and to the Ampili area. And I go, my goodness, just ashes. And, you know, if we're not careful, as believers, we can allow those kind of things affect our soulish realm to where we become emotional. And it pulls us into that place of grief and sorrow. And I'm not saying that we're not compassionate. We are compassionate. You know, the Bible says we sorrow, you know, we grieve with those who grieve, and we rejoice with those we rejoice with, right? Yeah, we do that. But we don't sorrow to the point to where we get stuck in that place, to where we begin to spiral and allow that emotion to keep us in that place. But we realize that we're not operating from our soulish realm, but we are spirit beings, supernatural. We operate from the place of our spirit. Amen. And that's where we are fortified in our spirit, man, because we understand that's where our answers are. Right? So we might feel helpless, but we're not hopeless. And you know, when I was watching that, I felt helpless. I wanted to do something, but I felt helpless. You know? Because sometimes when you feel helpless, you get emotional. But then we have to wait on God, and God, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do, right? Because in the amount of what has occurred, only you can fix it, man. Only you can fix it in the amount of devastation that happened. And we're not saviors, right? Jesus is the only savior. And he's the only one that can save, and he's the only one that can rescue. But he uses us. But we have to recognize that he is the Savior, the Savior. So whenever tragedy occurs that is out of our control, but we have to understand God is in control. And a lot of times, like I say, we're not careful of guarding our hearts, right? Everybody say, guarding, I have to guard my heart. Because the Bible says out of it flows the issues of life, right? And things can infiltrate our heart. And like Jesus said, he, you know, before he went back, he was preparing his disciples because he was going back to the Father. You know, he was going to be crucified. So he's preparing his disciples because he's going to leave. He's going to be handed into the hands of sinful men. He's going to be crucified. So on the night of Passover, he's preparing his disciples of what's going to take place. And in John chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Because they realize, hey, he's gone away. You know, if you believe in God, believe also in me, right? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So he's encouraging them. Because how many of you know, right? Our hearts can be troubled.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we're not careful guarding our hearts, we can get, like I said, we can get pulled into that soulish realm of our emotions, and we can, that can cause us to become or feel hopeless and helpless. Amen? But if we know our God and we live out of our spirit, which I know all of you do, we know that without a shadow of a doubt, in whom and where we put our hope in, despite of it. The psalmist said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in where? Put your hope and trust in God, right? And that's where our hopes ought to be, in God. Put your hope in God. We don't put our hopes in things. We don't put our hopes in money, in people, right? But we put our hope in Him. And we release our faith for hope that believes in God. Yeah. So that we are hopeful, not hopeless. Hopeful that God is able to do exceedingly above. Right? You know, we may have friends, families, co-workers who may be feeling, or even some of us may be feeling helpless. But we need to tell them, you are not without hope. The Bible says in Romans, I believe it, Romans chapter 4, it says, against all hope, Abraham believed God. Against all hope, Abraham believed God. And what we don't want to go into detail, but in his ripe old age, God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have what? A child, a son, right? They were going to have a son. Even in the midst of hopelessness, right, Abraham believed God. Because why? He was 100 years old, and Sarah was 99 years old. Now, if they were to look at themselves in the mirror, they would look at themselves in the natural and says, this is a hopeless situation here. There's no way we can get a son out of our own loins. It's not happening. There's no hope. But the Bible says he believed in hope. Even in the midst of hopelessness, he believed in hope. Everybody say, believe in hope. Hope believes God. If you read that whole chapter, I believe it's Romans chapter 4, or it's chapter 7, he says, he believed in hope, and he considered not his own body, although his body was old. Why? Because he was considering the promises of what God said. Not his body that was not able to reproduce. But he considered not his own body now dead. Neither the deadness, not only his body was dead, his body was not able to reproduce, but even the deadness of Sarah's womb was dead. They were far past their childbearing season, right? The Bible says he wavered not at the promises of God. But notice this, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. For he was fully persuaded that in what God had said, he was able to perform. Why? Because he put hope in God in a hopeless situation. And 13 years later, their son was born. Yeah. The moment he believed God, in the midst of hopelessness, he believed God. Amen? And they got their son. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is what anchors our hope that the sun will shine for our tomorrows when despair and hopelessness is evident. We look to God, we trust in his word, because the hope that we have in Christ gives us and this world something to live for. Amen. So we are hopeful people. So the hope that we have in Christ gives us and this world something to live for. Why? So we can keep on living. We can keep on moving forward. We can keep on dreaming. We can keep on believing that God is a good God. Amen. Despite of the bad that has occurred. Yes. Why? Because our hope is in God. Yes. How many of you are hopeful tonight? That God is able. He's able to what? Heal. He's able to restore. He's able to rebuild. He's able to make whole. Yes, he's able to rebuild buildings, homes, businesses, but more so people's lives, relationships, families, communities, hopes, dreams, our island, our future. Praise God. Yeah. You know, James, JJ, and I, we were filled with hope today. You know, we went down to Walmart, and we picked up a whole bunch of cases of water for our church, a whole bunch of cases of Gatorade. We picked up a whole bunch of toilet papers. We picked up a whole bunch of toothpastes. We picked up a whole bunch of cases of applesauce, and we drove down to the Maui High school, where one of the Red Cross shelters were. And when we got there, I mean, the parking lot was full. And I spoke to the Red Cross person earlier, and I asked him, "What do you guys need?" And he told us necessities. So we picked up those things, and I said, how many people are in the shelter at the Maui High School? And that was what, I think it was 10 o'clock this morning. He said, there's about 1,200 people now. And it's growing. So when we got down there to drop off all those items, the guys stopped us by the entry and said, you know, what we were coming for. We said, coming to drop off these items. They said, we have enough. We have enough. Take it to the Wailuku one right here. Because I heard they reopened another one because of the mass amount of people that they needed to tend to. So they opened the gym here. So we came down here and we unloaded here and was able to drop that off. And I gave the director my card. I says, whatever else you guys need, just call me. Or call us. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember that one prayer that we have, that this is our best and greatest days that are before us. And one portion in that prayer, it says that, let me see if I can find them. Anybody has it with you? You have it here? Let me see. The Lord reminded me of this. No, not for our services. The prophecy of our greatest and best days are before us. You got them? Cheryl, let me see that. Yeah, thank you. And one of the parts in that prayer of the prophecy, it says that, well, best days, Faith Family Maui is impacting and directly improving our community and the island of Maui through our prayers, serving, ministering by being a blessing as the Lord presents those open doors, opportunities, and avenues. And the Holy Spirit quickened that to me. You remember what I told you? This is your opportunity. This is the avenue that I'm making for you guys. This is the open door.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have to be mindful of these words that the Lord gives us, because it's available. When God speaks, it's available. He's saying, this is what I want. But it's not automatic. Right? So by doing what we did today, but whatever else comes, and we're praying, Holy Spirit, whatever you want. However, us as a church can be an access door for whatever need that there is. We're it. We're it. And when we drove coming, that parking lot was packed with cars. Because there's a lot of families that are displaced in Lahaina right now. Yeah. And when we were dropping off our stuff, what really brought hope to us was there was lines of cars along the road with stuff to drop off. And it's amazing to see the community responding to our brothers and sisters. Are we not our brother's keepers? Yeah. So sometimes we might feel helpless, but we're not hopeless. And we need to let them know, those who are feeling the helplessness, we have the message, it's not a hopeless. You're not in a hopeless situation. Because we've known people, and you probably known people, who came to the point of despair and hopelessness and says, you know what, I don't want to live no more. And they checked out way sooner than they should have. Yeah. They reached that place to where, you know what? I had a guy many years ago when we was going into the prison. The watch commander came straight up. He says, Herman, I have a young man who tried to take himself out twice. He's under a 24-hour surveillance watch. I think I might have shared this. Yeah. Would you go and minister to him? And I had no idea what to say. But the Holy Ghost knew. And I sat with him. I says, have you ever been in church before? He said, nope. Never? Never. And he's like 34 years old, and he's never been to a church, never set foot in a church. And the Lord just told me, just lead him to me. Led him to Christ, get born again. And while I was doing one of my other classes, months later, I'm sitting in my class, doing my class. There's about 20, 25 guys, and I noticed a guy way to my right, and he's smiling, and he's happy. And I know, man, I know that guy. You know, I don't, and couldn't put my finger on it. But come to find out, was that young man who got saved and who was thinking of checking out twice. And I look at him, he's looked healthy. He's put on weight. His countenance has changed. Wow. He has his Bible. Because somebody said, hey, you're not hopeless. There's hope. Hope in Christ. Don't let go. Hold on to Christ. I love this, what Paul says. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul put his hope in Christ. And that's Philippians chapter 1, 22. And as I was meditating on the scripture, you know, I thought about, you know, the day that I got born again, this is what I felt Paul was saying. The day I got born again, my life no longer belonged to me. How many of you know when you got born again, your life no longer belongs to you? Christ paid a debt that he didn't owe, and we owe a debt that we couldn't pay, right? So the day we got born again, our life no longer belonged to us. Therefore, it wasn't about me no more, but it was about him, Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, living his life through me. And that's what he wants to do, live his life through each and every one of us, right? And he goes on, he says, if I should die, right? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I should die, it only means I'll be gaining more of him. Why? Because I'll be face to face with him. But while I'm still alive and I'm breathing, I'm going to live my life for him. Amen. You know, if you ever study, read about Paul's life, ever since he was radically transformed, his number one objective was to please God, no matter what happened to him. The Bible says he found joy in his light afflictions. He found joy in his light afflictions. And he names those afflictions. Right? He said, I was stoned at one time and left for dead. I was beaten 3 times with 39 stripes. Jesus was beaten 1 time, 39 stripes. But I, Paul, was beaten 3 times with 39 stripes. Seems like he was misbehaving a lot. No, he was preaching the gospel, that's why. And he says, twice I was shipwrecked and left in the deep. Blue water, right? Blue water where jaws hang out, right? And he was hated. He calls these light afflictions. You know, Paul reminds me of the energizing bunny, right? He takes a beating and keeps on ticking. Let me end with this, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope, right? Now, when we talk about hope, it's not wishful thinking. Right? It's not wishful thinking. Well, you know, I hope things work out. You know, I hope everything just goes away. But Bible hope is a confident and favorable expectation of what God has promised and strength in his faithfulness. That's what Bible hope is. It's a confident and favorable expectation of what God has promised and strength in his faithfulness. Fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit has us. And he is the spirit of hope within us. And as we live our lives full, right, full of the word and full of the spirit, that hope that is within us will overflow. So when we come across people who are hopeless, that hope within us will provide hope for them. Amen. Because why? We are overflowing with joy and peace, right? And that hope is overflowing within us. So when we come across people who are, you know, they're hopeless. I don't know what we're going to do. My house, this. And you will come across people. You will come across coworkers, right? What are we going to say to them? We're going to give them hope. And that hope is in Christ. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, how can we help? Right? How we can help them. That our God is a God of hope. And we need to represent and reflect him as his people of hope. Yeah. Amen. That as we look to him, we look to Christ, we look to him, we focus on him who is the hope. We don't look around and see all the devastation and get drawn into the hopelessness that are out there and what is occurring. Because it can pull us in that direction. And that's not to say that we're not concerned what is going on. We are. But we're not allowing that to draw us into that place. But we look to the God of hope within us. We pay attention to him, what I'm saying. We pay attention to the word. So that we stay on track, we stay in focus, and we stay strengthened and strong so that we can provide hope for others. And we can have a message of faith and hope to them. That God's a good God. God's going to put you in situations and he's going to bless you. He's going to bring increase in you. He's going to move on your behalf. Right? He's going to provide the needs and the means that you need. I can pray, we can pray, we can believe, right? And let them know that it's not hopeless. Amen. Let me end with this, Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. I would have lost heart or fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word, Father, that gives us hope. It gives us strength. It gives us what we have need of, Father, for the specific time and for the specific place that we are in. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we just pray for our family members, for those who are experiencing that sense of hopelessness and despair. We pray for the people of the island, even for our visitors that are down at the airport. I heard there's like 2,000 waiting for flights to fly out. We pray for them as well, Father God. We pray, Lord God, in the midst of this chaos that you would bring divine order. Yes. And we speak peace into the atmosphere. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, just as you hovered over the waters, we release faith that you would move as we speak the word of God and that you would bring order over this chaos. You would bring peace over this chaos. We speak, you would bring life and hope over this chaos in Jesus' name. And we release faith for it, that it is well. It is well. It is well. Not with not only with our soul, but with their souls as well. Hallelujah. And that they will not lose heart, Father, that their hearts will not be troubled. And that we know who the culprit is behind this. And Father, we ask that the angels would assist in all the fires that are still burning, Father, that it will be stilled and extinguished, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask for angelic host assistance right now. And we command you to go and assist and do our beatings according to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. To provide protection, to provide divine interventions, to provide divine provision, to provide divine healing and divine health where it's needed. In Jesus' name. And we come in agreement. We come in agreement. As we heard Pastor Carol said, believe for rain. Yes. So Lord, we call the heavens to release rain in the name of Jesus. We call on the weather to release rain right now in the name of Jesus. We come in agreement. We ask that you would rend the heavens and pour out rain over this island. Not only physical rain, but spiritual rain of revival and awakening. An awakening that will provide new life and new growth in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Just tap into that supernatural source of the Spirit of God. Let me I was waiting for the Lord to release it. I'm going to release it tonight. And this is a word that the Lord gave me last Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning when I was praying. And he says, my glory has come and my glory shall remain and my glory shall stay. For my glory will confirm and validate what I, the Lord, has placed here as a lampstand regarding what I desire to do on this island, on this state. Did I not say to the voice of the prophet that I, the Lord your God, is raising up strong local churches who know how to flow with my word and my spirit? Well, it's time to rise up and to shine from obscurity and come up hither and flow as one with my word, flow as one with my spirit. As you flow, you will grow in large expanse throughout this land to cover, to conquer it with revelation of my word and righteous fervor of my spirit. That has been spoken and declared by the generations of times past that must be perpetuated to this generation of this present time and hour. For the Lord God said, for the life of this land shall be always, will always be perpetuated in heaven's righteousness. The life of this land is perpetuated in righteousness. And the Lord reminded me of the the Hawaii state motto, Ua mau ke ea o ka aina I ka pono. And I remember years ago, I spoke with Brother Clayton Eaton. And he said, you know, Herman, when that was written by King Kamehameha III, he included no crystal. But the state removed it. So it should have been read, Ua mau ke aina I ka pono. Ua mau ea o ka aina I ka pono no crystal. For the life of this land is perpetuated in righteousness in Christ. For God says, for the life of this land shall be and always be perpetuated in heaven's righteousness.